And so if you have your Bible, I would like to encourage you to turn with me to John's Gospel chapter 4. And this morning, I must apologize because the reading is a very long one. We are going to read that entire discourse of Jesus and the woman at the well, because it gives us a good sense of the discourse between Jesus and the woman at the well. And the title of my message this morning is "Give Me This Water," which is the woman's response to Jesus. And so we ask God's blessing upon His Word. Please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, this day that we have this opportunity to look into Your Word and allow You to speak to us. We humbly come and ask God that You will lead us by Your Spirit, Lord, and make known Your ways to us. Lord, that which You have in store today, Father, we receive it, and we receive it, Lord, knowing, God, that You are speaking to us, knowing, God, that You are making Yourself known to us through Your Word and through the power of Your Spirit. And so we give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 1. And it says there, "Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus Himself did not baptize but only His disciples, He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as He was from His journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' Jesus answered her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who is it that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water.' The woman said to Him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it Himself, and did his sons and his livestock.' Jesus said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.' And the woman said to Him, 'Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water.' Jesus said to her, 'Go call your husband and come here.' The woman said to Him, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What have you said is true.' The woman said to Him, 'Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship.' Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth.' And the woman said to Him, 'I know that Messiah is coming, He who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things.' Jesus said to her, 'I who speak to you am He.' Just then His disciples came back. They marveled that He was talking with a woman, but no one said, 'What do you seek?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say, 'They are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest'? Look," Jesus said, "I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and the other reap. I sent you to reap for that which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritan came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and they said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, this week we are going to look, like I said, a beautiful conversation. It is one of the longest discourse or conversation that Jesus had with someone. And that someone is no other but a woman. And it's a familiar passage of Scripture. We all know so well the woman at the well. But before I jump into this story this morning to really talk about the woman's response to Jesus about, "Give me this water to drink," and her plea to Jesus that she wanted whatever Jesus had to offer, not physical, but something that Jesus did not reveal, or she had no clue what he was talking about, but she wanted what he had to offer. But I would like to, like I said, draw your attention to the gospel, to the same John's gospel, but chapter 3, which is the previous chapter. And if we are familiar with the gospel of John, we have John chapter 3, which is the discourse of Jesus and Nicodemus. Now, we all know that Nicodemus was a man, a male figure. And here the fourth chapter is giving us a story of a woman. And so I would like to just draw some similarities for us this morning. You know, first we get Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night and he said, "Master, I know that you're a good teacher. We know that you're a good teacher. No one can do these things except he's from God." And then Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Jesus' discourse or conversation with Nicodemus was basically telling him what he needs to do to enter into the kingdom of God. And here with the woman at the well, he's wanting to offer her something. But what's the difference? What's the contrast between the two? And I'm just going to spend some time doing that this morning. Nicodemus, a male. The woman, a female. Nicodemus, we know in chapter 3, was given a name. This man was given a name. In the woman at the well, she has no name. There is no account of her name or all we know that she was the woman at the well. Nicodemus, a Jew. The woman, a Samaritan. Nicodemus, a religious and an upright and a just in the eyes of men. A woman, a sinner and an outcast. Nicodemus, greatly honored among his people. The woman, like I said, rejected and an outcast. Nicodemus, highly educated. Know the law, know the commandment. The woman, uneducated. Unlike Nicodemus this morning, the woman at the well was rejected, both, like I said earlier on, religiously and also socially. She was rejected because of her past. because of her status, her background. In other words, she was an outcast to society, which was due to her immoral lifestyle, which we heard in the story that Jesus said to her, you have not one husband, but you have five. So we can, when we compare the two, you can see that one was yet religious and highly respected and have everything that in society we will receive those one, the, him and the woman, an outcast. But what is similar to the two, to these two people, as much as they have so many differences and contrasts between the two that you could separate them black and white, night and day, evening and morning, you can separate them. What is, in the eyes of God and in the eyes of Jesus, what you notice there, that both of them were sinners. They're both sinners, they're both lost. Nicodemus, as much as he was religious and righteous and holy in the eyes of men, he was yet lost. In the eyes of God, he was lost, which is the reason why Jesus says you must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And Jesus went one further. Also, Nicodemus, you cannot even see the kingdom of God if you're not born again. And so the woman and the woman and Nicodemus, as much as they have so many differences, yet again in the eyes of God, they were equal. They were sitting at the same very plane together. Both of them are sinners. Both of them rejected. Both of them need a Savior. And brothers and sisters, that's who we are in Christ. That's who we were. The Apostle Paul says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were lost. We were separated from God. We had no hope until Jesus Christ came and gave his life for us as a ransom and as a purchased possession, and offer us life and life eternal through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. So it is not the external, brothers and sisters. When God looks at us, God does not look at the external. God looks at the internal, at our heart. And which is the reason why the story with the woman at the well is such a beautiful story. But yet again, it's such a wonderful demonstration of God's grace, his love and his mercy and his compassion towards us. And this story reinforces three things this morning. I'm not going to preach on these three things, but it just reinforces these three things. The first thing it reinforces is, or it reminds us, is that Jesus is the Messiah, the one that they were looking for all these years. It confirms, because the woman says, we know that the Messiah will come. We know it is our form belief that we have been waiting for him. And Jesus says, I am he, making himself known to the woman, an outcast. He never made himself known to Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes and says, we know that you're a teacher from God. But with the woman, the outcast, the religiously outcast, the one who was socially outcast, the one who was so lost that no one cared about, Jesus made himself known to her, and he says, I am he. I am the Messiah. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what God has done for you and me, brothers and sisters? This God who left his eternal glory and came down to our level to make himself personal to each and every one of us. You see, the relationship that we have with Christ this morning has, it's not about your husband or your wife or your brother, your sister, your mom, because they had a relationship with Christ means that's how I come to him. No, he comes so that he can have a personal and an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. This relationship is an individual one. Jesus comes into your heart and make himself known to you so that your relationship
is secured and it's anchored in the person and the work of Jesus. Your salvation is not based on your mom or your brother or your sister or your husband. No, your salvation is found in no one else but Jesus Christ. And it's a personal one. And what he has done here with this story with the woman at the well and reminding us, which is the reason why Jesus, when you read the passage, he says he must go through Samaria. Why did Jesus choose to leave Judea and go to Samaria? Do you know that there was an easier route for him to go to go where he had to go to Samaria? But he chose to go through Samaria to get to where he was going. Sorry. And the scripture said that he must, there is a need why he must go through. Means that there is something personal. You see, brothers and sisters, God was never lost. We're the one that were lost in our sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and we were lost. And he came, and he found us. We are not the one who found him. You know, I always hear people say, I found Jesus. No, he was never lost. You're the one that was lost. It's the opposite way. It's vice versa. We have always been lost until Jesus Christ came and found us. And that's what he did with this woman at the well, and that's what he has done with each and every one of us. If we are to stand here this morning, we all can testify how we came to faith in Jesus Christ. But it has nothing to do with us seeking God. It has all to do with God seeking us out and bringing us to faith. And I love this beautiful story because it reminds even me of how God has when I was lost and running and rejecting and I had want nothing to do with God. And God has used so many people and so many lives and so many situations to bring me to faith in knowing him as my Lord and my Savior. So it not only reinforces that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. This beautiful story also demonstrates that the love that Jesus have for all people everywhere, which is the reason why he could have continued to stay in Judea and then make his way like the Jews and go on the other side and get to where he was going into Jerusalem. But no, but he chose to come through Samaria. There is a need. And that need is because he knows that each and every one of us are lost. And he will seek us out no matter what it is. The Bible said that he came to seek the lost, is not so? He come to seek the lost. John 3:16, he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. But then John gives us a tongue that God so loved the world, John 3:16, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And we all know that verse very well. We say it so many times over the course of our lives. We know it. Some of us come to faith by just hearing that word, God so loved the world. And you respond with such because of God's love for us. But many of us forget John 17. We forget John 3:17, 3:17 and 18. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that all through him might be saved. That is beautiful. You see, we sometimes rest on John 3:16 with that, but it's a reminder God did not send his son to condemn. And we heard this morning the Apostle Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin to set us free. That is the assurance that we have this morning, brothers and sisters. And not only does it demonstrate his love for all people everywhere, not only does it reinforce that he is the one and only true, but it also a true demonstration of his grace and love and compassion for lost humanity. It's what he did when he left and he met the woman at the well. And I'm just going to touch on a few things here this morning. Because Jesus said to the woman, so when it says that when he came to the woman and he says, "Give me to drink," she says, "You being a Jew, ask me a Samaritan for a drink?" And what she was saying to him, how can this be? Because between the Jew and the Samaritan, there is this conflict, there is this division that went back all the way to 736 B.C. All the years it went back to 721 B.C., sorry. The history between the Jews and the Samaritan. When the Assyrian captured the Assyrian captivity in the northern kingdom of Israel, and the Jews were left behind. Some Jews were taken as part of this captivity when the Assyrian captured the Jews at the time. They took only a portion of the people, and those Jews that were left behind intermarry with other religion. So those that were in captivity, when they came out of captivity and they came back, they realized that their own people were already intermarrying with other nations, which were forbidden, and they rejected them. And that division has been there for all these years and divided. And they wanted nothing to do with those who were intermarried. And so they separate themselves, and the Samaritan only believe in the five books of the Moses, the first five books, which is the Torah. And that division continues. And they were not interested anymore with the other books of the Old Testament. They had their own religious system, they had their own way of worship. And so the Jews that came out of captivity wanted nothing to do with them. And there was this hostility between these two group of people. Even though they were yet the same people, there was still this hostility, and that hostility even was in the time when Jesus came. So when Jesus came to the woman, she says, "You, being a Jew, want to drink from me? That is forbidden." The Jews were not allowed to touch anything that a Samaritan used or hold. They were not allowed. They were forbidden. So when Jesus showed up at her and asked her for drink, she was surprised. You see, Jesus will go at any length and any breadth and in any depth to meet you and meet anyone, brothers and sisters. And that's what he is doing here. He cut across every religious barrier and every social barrier and every hindrances. He will go. And that's what he did with this woman here. So when she asked him what sort of Jew you were, that's the kind of Jew he was. But he was not a Jew, identify himself as a Jew, but as the Son of God, which is what makes this story a beautiful one. He says, Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," two things he said to her, "If you knew the gift of God," and who is it? Who is it? Is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He said two things that were important to the woman. If you knew the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is that he is the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And he was saying, "I am that gift. And I have come down to your level to be personal with you. I have left all of Judea and I've left everywhere just to come, just to be with you." So personal. And not only says, if you knew the gift of God, but he said, who is it that is talking to you? He says, not only is the gift, but who is standing in your midst? He says, "I am he." This Messiah, the one who comes to give you life and to give you more abundantly, which is the reason why he said to the woman, if you would have asked me, he would have given you living water. Let us look at that this morning in a few minutes. What is this living water that Jesus talks about? The woman says, "Sir, Where can I find this water? Where can I have this water? Give me this water to drink. You know what she was saying there? That she has come to this well over and over and over again all her life. She has been coming to this well. Jesus says, if you drink of this well, you will thirst again. But the water that I give you will never thirst. And she says, give me that water. How many of us want to trade that which is physical for that which is eternal? That is what Jesus Christ came to offer, brothers and sisters. You see, not the physical, not the temporal. The world gives us what's physical. It gives us what's temporal. All of this will only last for a time. But what Jesus offered to us this morning is for eternity. Which is the reason why this woman says, give me this water so that I will not come here and draw this water. You see, she was seeking for something that would quench her thirst. She was tired of her lifestyle. She was tired of all this coming and this rejection, both religiously and socially. And she wanted that, what Jesus had to offer, this water. But she doesn't know what it is. But yet again, she was willing to trade coming to this well. She was willing to trade all of that pain and all of that rejection so that she doesn't have to come here. She was so focused on the physical, yet again she wants the spiritual. Which is similar to what Nicodemus said. Nicodemus said, should I enter my mother's womb and be born again? He was looking at the natural. Jesus says, no. You don't have to enter your mother's womb. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. You must be born again. He doesn't come to offer us the physical. He doesn't come to offer us the natural, the things that we can feel and touch. He comes to offer that which is spiritual. You see, the answer to our problem, brothers and sisters, is not found in the natural. It's not found in the spiritual. It's not found in the educational or the government or the political system of this world. The answer to our problem is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Because these things that we have and we accumulate and we gather will only last for a time. But what Christ has to offer is eternity, which is the reason why the woman says, give me this water. Jesus said, the water that I will give you, you will never thirst again. And I'm sure, brothers and sisters, every one of us that are here this morning can say that we have drank, we are drinking from that well. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He not just satisfies us temporarily, brothers and sisters. It's not only for that moment, but every single day of our lives. The Holy Spirit comes in. Jesus said that when He comes, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. And when the Holy Spirit not only comes to reprove the world of that, but when He comes, He's to fill our hearts and our lives, and to satisfy, only Jesus satisfy. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, and you and I have been here at some point in our life, brothers and sisters, that we can testify that when you come to know Jesus, he satisfy over and over and over and over again. Every single day with Jesus is sweeter. We have a saying back home, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And it doesn't matter how terrible the situation that we're in, we can still sense His peace and His love and His presence in our lives. Which is the reason why Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will spring up into your life. It spring well up into your life. Because the Holy Spirit does not just satisfy for a moment, but every single day we can trust Him. We can come here this morning feeling very down and very depressed and very overwhelmed by the cares of life and the things that this life throws at us. But we can rest assured that if we commit those things in His hands, He says, I will take your hand and I will guide your feet and I will lead you in the path of righteousness for my name's sake. I will take your burden and I will exchange it for mine. He says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. He wants to take the heavy load and the pain and the burden and the things that you carry. And He wants to give you His, which is easy and is light. Which is what He did with that woman that day. Which is what He did when she says, give me this water to drink. Jesus changed the subject, not purposely, but knowing her heart. He says, go call your husband. She says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you're right. You see, confession plays a key role in our life. And that's what Jesus was saying to her. For you to receive this living water, you must confess. The woman says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you're right, because you have five. Bringing her to that place of knowing that for her to receive this well, this water that He was talking about, was not just to say, I'm just going to receive it. But true confession and repentance bring us into that place where we can walk with Him. Not only does He forgive, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that confession starts with the woman that day that she received that living water. After she went back to her village, we have the story. She became the first evangelist even before the church in the book of Acts went to Samaria. She went back to her village and she said, come, see a man who has told me everything about my life. He must be the Christ. And then the entire village came because of that one woman. Came to faith to know who Jesus is. And they said, we don't need you to tell us anymore. We have learned. We have come to the truth. They said, for 2 days when He stayed with them, the entire village of Samaria came to know who He was. Brothers and sisters, what you hear this morning is that Jesus will make His way all the way to the lost, because that's what He came to do. And He offers the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. And so this morning I want to comfort your heart. Just take comfort this morning that He has left His heavenly glory to come down at your level to where you are, to be with you and to offer you such an assurance in your life. So no matter where you are this morning, no matter where you are, no matter what you may be going through, brothers and sisters, Jesus can meet you at that place in your life. And I'm sure that each and every one of us can testify of that in the past and even now. That once you commit your ways to Him, brothers and sisters, He is faithful and just to keep you and to uphold you and to comfort you and to strengthen you. So let us take courage this morning and continue to trust in Him and continue to lean on Him, because He's able to carry us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning to remind us of such a beautiful story with the woman at the well, lost, rejected, had no hope. Lord, that is who we were before You found us, lost in darkness, without hope. And there are so many, God, that are out there, that are in our world today, that are lost and without hope. And we are so thankful, God, that You came down to our level and to be with each and every one of us, to make known Yourself to us like You did with the woman of the well. And every one of us that are here this morning can testify, God, that we have come to that place of knowing you as Lord and Savior. That's a personal encounter, a personal relationship with you. That each and every one of us have a story to tell, and that story, it's about you and God, how you came down to meet with each and every one of us. And I pray this morning, we pray this morning for those that don't know you, Lord, that they will have that same encounter and that same experience of knowing you as Lord and as Savior. And Lord, we pray, God, this morning as we leave this place, this house where we gather to worship you and to hear your voice and to hear your word and to listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we leave this place one from another, God, that your presence will continue to be with us. And even though, God, some of us may continue to struggle and continue to, oh Lord, go through things, God, that are just there that we sometimes may not believe that you're at work, give us the assurance, God, that we can cast all our care upon you because your word says that you care for us. That we can leave everything here this morning and go knowing, God, that you are going to take care of it. Let us go with a sense of assurance this morning again. Give those that are troubled, give us such peace in our heart. Give us such hope this morning. Like David says, cast me not away from thy presence, but renew a right spirit in me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And so we pray this morning that you will take our hands and you'll continue to lead us by your Spirit. And as we go, God, that we will continue to experience that well, that you offer this woman the well, the spring of well that will just flow over and over and over again. That we don't have to come and drink at this well and drink this water like the woman. But we can continue to trust you and to allow your Holy Spirit to fill us continuously, O Lord. And so we give thanks to you, Lord. I pray for family this morning. We join hearts this morning for those that are sick among us. For the less fortunate among us this morning. For those that are hurting, for those that are in pain, for those that are still struggling emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, God, we as a congregation, as a body of believers, gather together this morning, join our hearts, and just ask of you to just minister to those need wherever they are. We give thanks and praise to you, Lord, because it's only in you we can trust. It's only in you, God, that we can find hope. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters this morning. We pray for this community at large that you have called us to be light and salt. A community, Lord, that many may be lost. And Lord, let us be like this woman is to tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us go to our neighbors and to our community and says, come, see a man. Come, see a man that has told me everything. Let us also take that time, Lord, and to share the good news of the gospel with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family. Help us to be light and salt in a world that is lost, a world that is without hope. Let us be that light, Lord, on a mountain top, always shine bright to bring hope to a world that is lost. Your word says that what good would it be if we take a bowl and just cover the light that we are called to be? Lord, I just pray, God, that each and every one of us will shine in darkness. Each and every one of us will shine wherever we go, whether it's in our little community, whether it's in our little group, whether it's at our workplace, or whether, God, the places that you have called us to be, God, let us shine forth as light like this woman at the well. And Lord, let us see this community transform and change. Let us see this community come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. And so we thank you this morning to remind us again. We thank you this morning to speak to us again, Lord, of this hope that we have, not a hope that is lost, not a hope that is dead, but a living hope, a hope that is alive. And we're leaving here with such an assurance in our heart. And we give thanks to you. In Jesus' name, amen.